Well, good morning and welcome in, especially to all of you watching on that side of the camera. Our sermon title today is called Confused? Why? And our scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 24, starting in the 13th verse, working our way clean down to 35. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. And while you're looking that up, Little League Baseball, the coach knew. He had to take the young boy out that was pitching. He just knew it. And he started that long walk to the mound. 9-year-old boy standing out there, hadn't been able to get himself right. The game was not going his way. He'd become mad and frustrated. And the coach arrived to the boy and he said, "Son," he said, "you realize that what we're playing is a team sport?" "Yes, sir." "And you realize that when the team wins, we all win?" "Yes, sir." He said, "you realize that the referee's job is to call it as he sees it. In, out, strike, foul. You understand that?" "Yes, sir." He said, "you understand that it doesn't get us anywhere to argue with the referee. We just need to accept it. We're a team. We play as a team." "Yes, sir." He said, "you understand that it's my responsibility. That sometimes I have to take a child out of the game and put another child in so that child can get time to play and learn the fundamentals of the game. We do this as a team, right?" "Yes, sir." "And doing things like calling the referee a dummy or blind, or when the coach makes that long walk down there and saying things like the coach is stupid, an idiot, a moron, doesn't know what he's doing, that doesn't do anything, right? That's bad, right?" "Yes, sir." He said, "good. Then walk over there and tell your grandmother to stop shouting that stuff at me." Luke chapter 24 in the 13th verse. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days? "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, 'It's true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him out in this message. Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you. We ask that you give us this message in its fullness and in its entirety. To wake us up, to give us strength, to guide us in the days to come. To give us a better understanding, if but for a brief, just a brief glimpse, just a moment of who you are and what you are in our lives. And let us try to act more like you instead of more like the world. We thank you, Father, for these words from you. Let them strengthen us in Jesus' name. And all of his children proclaimed, amen. Anxiety, fear, panic, withdrawal, hiding, anger. Those are powerful words, aren't they? Any one of these, or all of these words, are part of what you could use to describe when you're confused about something. Let me ask you a question. How many people in this room has ever had to take a test? How many people on the other side of the camera? How many people were ever happy about it? Oh, not a single hand went up. Now wait a minute. Now, let me be fair. Let me ask this question from a different angle. How many people, knowing you had to take a test, studied for it, prepared for it, did all the reading and the research, and walked into the testing room, your head held high, ready to take the test, not scared at all? Go ahead, put your hands up. Toddy, put your hand down. Pat, I believe you. But I noticed there was not a lot of others that went up. And that's the truth, isn't it? We have to take tests all the time. And once a year, I have to, with my work, I have to go in and take, are you ready? 37 tests all at once to re-up for what they call the operator qualifications to show that I still know how to do some of the stuff that I'm supposed to know how to do. And I have the books. I've read it. I've researched it. And I'm telling you, I still walk into that room and I sit down sometimes. And I'm like, well, I wonder if I'll pass everything. And boy, you don't even want to know what it was like when I was a student and tests came up. Anxiety, fear, panic, withdrawal, hiding. The anger came from my parents when they saw my grades. We'll discuss that in another sermon. But this is all part of our everyday existence. And that is the world of confusion. And all them words add to it. When you become confused, you become lost, you become angry, especially when someone's trying to help you. Say amen, because you know it's true. And we get lost in that. And we get confused and we get all twisted around. But I'm here to tell you that at times, more often than not, confusion is helpful. What? No. Paul, that's not right. Confusion's not helpful. Oh, but au contraire, I beg to differ. I would like to use the letters CMB to tell you that confusion is actually a part of our existence and can be a powerful tool to grow us. CMB. Nobody knows what that means. Well, that's because I'm here to educate you, because I am so smart. CMB stands for Cosmic Microwave Background Radiation. No? Look at all these confused looks out here. Are you confused? Why? In the sleepy little town of Homedale, New Jersey, is the town's biggest employer, Bell Laboratories. Now, Homedale, New Jersey, is a nothing little town. It's a 15, 20 miles off the Jersey shore. It's over in New Jersey. The greatest thing that Homedale has to its fame is Bell Laboratories. And the fact that all the people that live in New Jersey, in Homedale, New Jersey, 90% of them work in New York City. So they go over there and they make all this money and then they come home. And Homedale is known as a sleepy bedroom community, meaning they sleep there but they work elsewhere. Bell Labs have been known for radio astronomy, the transistor laser, the photovoltaic cell. It's all because of Alexander Graham Bell. In the 1800s, when he was 1880, he was given 50,000 francs, which is around $300,000 today, to begin the research and development that would grow out and become the phone. But Bell's main course was to try to work with people that couldn't hear. And after he established his laboratory in Washington, D.C. and began to see that where he wanted to go and the proprietors didn't, they parted company, and eventually Bell became Western something or another, Chichester Bell and Western this and Western that. And Bell Laboratories eventually settled in New Jersey and began to study and research all things scientific. And it still doesn't get into your head until you understand what came from a little laboratory in Homedale, New Jersey. Now, judging by your faces, and I've been loving to do this sermon, everybody's looking at me like, what? Can you? Are you going to tell us something? Well, of course I am. But you have to wait your turn. Now, aren't you just good and confused? Good! I want you to understand where confusion can make you grow. Now, enter a life of confusion. His name is Arno Allen Penzazas, and he was born in Munich, Germany in 1933. And by the time he was 6 years old, the Nazis had begun to thumb down on the German people. And as part of what they called the Kinder Transport, Arno was separated from his family and sent to London. Lost, confused, not knowing what was going on. It wasn't until a few years later his family was able to join him in London, and then they relocated to Brooklyn, to the United States, to what they called the German area, or the garment district of New York City in 1940. In 46, he became naturalized. Graduated from high school, went to the City College of New York, graduated in 1954 with a degree in physics, became a radar officer for the United States Army. This led him to being allowed to go to Columbia University on a scholarship, and eventually he wound up working in Bell Labs in Homedale, New Jersey, with a man named Robert Woodrow Wilson, a venerated scholar in and of himself from Texas. And the two began to study microwave radiation signals, primarily cosmic. They worked on ultra-sensitive cryogenic microwave receivers, and they came to build and operate what was known as the Homedale Cosmic Radiation Telescope, which is this thing about as big as this room that looks like a giant horn. And it was made to bounce signals back and forth around the Earth off weather balloons to study cosmic radiation. And they began to dig deep into it. And I read this part. The pair encountered a radio noise, which they could not explain. It was confusing in its form, in its gyrations, and in the way it showed up in oscillations. They assumed that their instrument was in trouble, and so they spent weeks and months trying to get it right. But the more they fought with this noise that they could not explain, the more confused they became and the harder they worked to identify it. And finally, they called on Robert Dickey, who was an American astronomer and physicist who had studied under Einstein. They felt that they had found something unique, and they began to work through the confusion to decipher it. The pair agreed with Dickey to publish side-by-side letters in the Astrophysical Journal in 1964, describing their observations and the interpretation as the cosmic microwave background radiation, the confusion and the noise that they had studied led to the understanding at the beginning of the universe known as the Big Bang Theory. All that confusion led them to study and cosmically delve into what that noise was and base themselves on research, and they began to see that the universe was brought into existence by a single creative moment. The Big Bang Theory. Have you seen those bumper stickers on the back of cars? The Big Bang Theory is explained as this. God said it, bang, it happened. All of this confusion forced them to study. Confusion led to question. Questioning led to why. Why led to study. Study led to confusion. Confusion led to questioning. Study, questioning, study. And something that they had never encountered, they made a discovery that has shaped our understanding of physics going forward, relative to dark matter and string theory and dark radiation. And that is where we find ourselves today sometimes, confused. I had to laugh when Jill said, in COVID crazy land. I like that term, COVID crazy land. I got chastised for saying that here recently. Actually, I said that the Wuhan flu has led to the COVID crazy land that we're exposed to, and I got roundly chastised for using that kind of language. Well, it didn't stop me. I said, well, where did it come from? But that's neither here nor there. We have been led into this thing of confusion. We walk around in it all day long. And Christians, brothers and sisters, we hear things that come around us and they start to erode at our very concrete, fundamental understanding of Jesus Christ. Many years ago, I knew that I had gotten myself into a confused state. I went to a theology class. Now, some of you that have been here for a while have heard about me being lost in a theology class. And I want you to blink for a moment and imagine Paul Leatherman in a theology class. I don't like theology. I don't like trying to tear stuff apart. And at the beginning of that class, the man that led the class went around the room and he said, I want to know what your belief is. And there was, I don't know, 10 or 12 in his class. And he comes around to me and I said, well, my belief is that Jesus Christ, born of Mary, Son of God, died, rose again. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. That's it. There's really not much else to discuss further than that. And he said, well, that's your concrete belief, isn't it? And I said, well, yes, it is. He said, well, I'm going to work over the next 6 lessons to change that thought process and make you open up your mind. And I said, good luck. And him and I had major discussions on my belief to the point where somebody in the classroom said this to me to try to confuse me. Paul, you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, right? Yeah. Got this here book called Bible. You know, Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. It's all in here. It tells me what to do. I believe it. Live it. Try to anyways for the most part. They said, well, the doctor stood there, and he was a doctor. He stood there and he looked at me and he goes, well, what about babies that die? They don't have time to believe in Jesus Christ. No, they don't. But according to this book, they haven't had a chance to discern. So they're already covered. Well, what about Jewish people? Well, aren't we real clear about it? They want to believe what they want to believe, just like these people out there that worship rocks. You understand? And it tried to confuse me. I wouldn't give up. I may have even confused him. I must have, because my assessment at the end of that class was, Paul was at times antagonistic. His beliefs are fundamental, traditional, borderline fundamental, and Paul should have a more open mind when it comes to understanding different ways to look at things. But that's the unfortunate thing. And what we read today in this scripture, and the reason I held off doing it, is because I didn't want it to come straight out of Easter. I wanted us time to let Easter settle in, to get back in that moment, to get back in that feeling that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And here we are reading this story of two men walking 7.5 miles from Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus. Now that, by my understanding, is about a 2.5 hour, 2-hour, 45-minute journey. Because the average person walks about three and some odd miles an hour. And they're doing this in the desert in sandals. And they're walking along. And they're lost. They're confused. I love this story because I like to try to picture what it may have looked like as they walked along. I don't know. I can't understand why. What happened? He said he was going to lead us out. He was the king of Israel. He said he had come back to claim. He said he had come back to redeem. I just don't understand this. And neither do I. What did we do? What are we going to do? We're lost. And suddenly, hello. Hi, how you doing? Mind if I walk along with you for a while? Why, no, friend. Share this road with us. Stop right there. You understand that that road, you can see things in every direction for a while. It is a nasty piece of road to walk on. And suddenly, out of nowhere, a man appears and starts walking with him. Now, in normal situations, you'd be like, where did you come from? Because I can see this way, that way, this way. And I didn't see you walking up behind us, because believe you me, we don't walk that fast. Where did you come from? They didn't ask. Can I walk along with you? Yeah, please. And then Jesus says, what are you guys discussing as you walk along together? Confused. You just get here? Did you just pick up a newspaper? Were you asleep for the past 2 weeks? What's going on here? We're lost because we lost our Jesus Christ. Who? Jesus. And they begin to tell the story as they know it. This man came and he blessed people and he lifted up and he healed. And he did all this great stuff, and then he was killed and he was crucified, and he kept saying that he was going to come after us again and save us all. And here it is, 3 days since he died, and we don't even know where the body's at now. Somebody got in the tomb and tampered with it. Verse 24. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. It's got to hurt. In the middle of all this confusion, Jesus has to be thinking, why are you so confused? And he tells them that when he says, how foolish you are. I told you what was going to happen. Didn't you understand that? Didn't you understand and believe what the prophet said? Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And so he begins to explain the scriptures to them as they walk, as they listen. He tells them everything to the minutest detail. And yet they're still somewhat confused. They get to the house. They're going to stop now because it's starting to get toward night, toward evening. And Jesus makes like he's going to walk on. The test. Where are you going? Come in here and stay with us. You shouldn't be out there. Okay. And he sits down and they start to serve. And he gives thanks. And suddenly the confusion is gone. Clarity. You know what clarity is, right? A worker asking for a pay raise got a note back from his supervisor employer that read as follows. Because of the fluctuation predisposition of your position's productive capacity as juxtaposed to standard norms, it would be momentarily injudicious to advocate your requested increase. The puzzled worker went right to the supervisor and said, I'm a little confused here. If this is about my pay raise, I don't get it. That's right, said the supervisor. The moment of clarity. And they have it. And as their eyes are opened, he's gone. The scene changes and becomes excitable. They get up at once. The Bible says they didn't sit around and talk about it. They didn't dwell on it. They didn't stand there going, what in the world just happened? The Bible says when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared. And then they began to get that clarity. It was him. Our hearts were burning. Did you not feel that? The power that was coming from this man. And the Bible records they got up at once and returned to Jerusalem. That's 2.5 hours, friends, or better. They took off. So important it was. So magnificent this moment was. so much that there had to be told that they had to go back. And they found the 11 and others assembled there. The Bible records it. And those others were lost, still confused. And here comes some clarity. There's a point that I recently read that I have never thought about. In the road to Emmaus, it speaks of two men walking. And it names one of them, Cleopas. It never names the other one. Oh, there's a whole bunch of speculation. There's books written on it. There's papers written on it. But the one person I read, and I want to make sure I get his name right, John Gilman, in Feuchterscheid, some German book, to Jan Lambrick, writes that Luke's failure to identify Cleopas, his companion, by either name or gender, may well be a strategy of inviting the reader to identify implicitly with that person. And that's a confusing statement. Let me give you some clarity. We're the other person that was walking that day. We weren't there yet. We weren't born yet. And yet that was us. Walking in confusion, walking in self-doubt, walking in the shadow of fear, anxiety, panic, anger, withdrawal, hiding. And yet the whole time we have the truth in front of us. When Luke wrote this, this is considered one of his greatest parts of his entire gospel, this writing, just the way it was written. It was written left open to understand we need to view ourselves as the other person walking in confusion and finding clarity every single day of our life. Every day. When we stop looking for the truth, we've given in. I want you to now read that story sometime as you are the unnamed companion. And we are confused, especially in this day and age, when we're told what we need to believe, because what we believed is wrong. And everybody knows. Genderless bathrooms. The fact that you shouldn't say a woman's a woman, or motherhood, or there's a whole thing. It's confusing our lives more and more, and more and more that confusion should force us to dwell deeper and deeper and deeper in the Scripture. We are asked to accept views that are contrary to what we know is truth, and after a while it beats on us, just like it did those two walking that road. We can become as confused as a university student that was seen walking around campus with a large K printed on his t-shirt. He's walking around, big K. When somebody asked him what the K stood for, he said, "Confused." But the questioner replied, "You don't spell confused with a K." And the student answered, "Now you understand how confused I am." It's the truth. We can get just that confused where something as simple as how to misspell a word suddenly makes sense, because we get lost in that fear, anxiety, withdrawal, pain. We get lost in that confusion, and instead of seeing it as a moment to stop and go seek out the Scriptures and right ourselves again, sometimes we get lost. Brothers and sisters, the message today is to understand that there is a truth. And I've read this. Now, for some reason, it comes to me again. John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." That's truth, brothers and sisters, that never has changed. Never. In confusion, sometimes I have to ask, why are you confused, Christian? Perhaps it's because the world around you is beating on you so hard. That hasn't changed ever since the dawn of time. Perhaps it's because too many things in your life you can't answer, or too many things in your life that are taking a direction you don't understand. Well, let me give you some clarity to that direction. It's God's plan. Whatever's going on with you is God's plan. Like it or not, accept it or not, it's God's plan. You have a plan. You have been herded into a direction. You are His chosen creation, each and every one of you. And to each and every one of you, He has a will for you. He has a desire for you. He has a want for you. And some of it hurts, and some of it's pretty good. And in the middle of all that confusion, when you're stuck going, why? Return back to the Word, to the truth, to the understanding. And let your heart yet again burn with that desire to know the Scriptures, that desire to relive the story of Jesus Christ, that desire to proclaim Him yet again as the light of your life, the salvation of your soul, the mender of your wrongs, the healer of your heart, and the leader of everything that you are is our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the walk to Emmaus. And when you're confused, why? Because you need to go back and study again. The answer will be there and never, ever change. That's the walk we take every day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We raise You up, we lift You up, we glorify You. We ask, Father, that You are looking at us as why when we are confused. Father, I pray that You use those moments to turn us back to You, to seek You out, to ask those questions. We may be lifted up, we may be guided, that we may know yet again the truth that is everything You are. Watch over and keep us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing the last hymn, the bench is open. If you need that special prayer, if you're on the other side of that camera, I've said it before, you can reach out to me or find somebody that walks the walk and get with them to strengthen you. Remember, you'll be confused, but the answer is here. May God bless and keep you today. Thank you.